Hey everyone, welcome back. Today we're going to be taking a deep dive into something that I know a lot of you guys are interested in, and that is how to approach preaching, specifically preaching from the historical narratives in the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, those Old Testament stories, those historical books, it can be kind of tricky sometimes, right?
Yeah, they can be a little bit of a puzzle sometimes.
Yeah. Like, how do you take these ancient stories and make them relevant to people today?
Right.
Well, a listener sent us in a lecture transcript by Dr. Robert Vinoy, and it's all about different approaches to preaching these texts. And it's pretty fascinating because it kind of gives you a glimpse into how preaching has evolved over time.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the way that we interpret those historical narratives has such a huge impact on how we understand the entire message of the Bible.
Right. It's not just about telling a cool story. It's about understanding what God is doing in those stories and how they connect to us.
Yeah.
So let's unpack this a little bit. Dr. Vinoy starts out by talking about what's called the allegorical method. And this was a really popular way to interpret the Bible, especially like way back before the Reformation. Basically, it's all about finding like a hidden symbolic meaning within the stories.
Hmm.
Yeah, kind of like a code to crack or something.
Yeah, almost like think about it like a code to crack, right? For example, in Genesis 24, you have the story of Abraham's servant finding a wife for Isaac.
Right.
So someone who's using the allegorical method might say that Isaac represents Christ and Rebecca represents the church.
Oh.
And the servant is like the preacher bringing people to faith.
Okay, I see. I kind of see how that works. But I mean, isn't that a little bit subjective? Like, couldn't you just kind of make up any symbolism that you wanted to?
That's one of the big problems with the allegorical method. Yeah. It can be really arbitrary, and it risks missing the actual meaning of the text, you know, reading things into it rather than drawing meaning out of it.
Right.
Dr. Vinoy uses a couple of terms here. Eisegesis, which is reading into the text, and exegesis, which is drawing the meaning out of the text.
Right. We want to stick with exegesis.
We want to stick to exegesis. Yeah. And plus, you know, when you use the allegorical method, it can kind of downplay the fact that these are historical accounts. These are real events that happened in history.
Yeah.
They're not just like fables or myths.
Right. So if we're not supposed to just see these narratives as allegories, then what's like a better way to approach them?
Well, Dr. Vinoy talks about two other approaches. One is called exemplaristic preaching, and the other one is redemptive historical preaching.
Okay, let's start with that first one. Exemplaristic. What is that all about?
Okay, so exemplaristic preaching uses these Bible stories as examples for how we should live our lives.
Okay.
Right. So think back to that story of Isaac's marriage in Genesis 24. An exemplaristic preacher might say that Abraham's desire for Isaac to marry a woman who followed God is a model for parents today.
Mm.
They might encourage parents to be really thoughtful about who their children marry.
Okay. Yeah. Right? So they're pulling out like a moral lesson from that.
Exactly.
Yeah. I could see how that would resonate with people. But wouldn't that also kind of lead to a lot of different interpretations?
Yeah.
Depending on what you chose to focus on.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah.
You hit on one of the potential issues with the exemplaristic method there is that it can be quite subjective, right?
Right.
A preacher might choose to emphasize one character's actions over another's, and it can lead to different messages, even from the same story.
Yeah.
And sometimes it can miss the bigger picture of what God is doing in the narrative.
Okay, so instead of just focusing on what the individuals are doing, we need to be looking at the broader context of what God is doing.
Yeah. It's not just about extracting moral lessons or imitating the actions of biblical figures, right? It's about understanding how each event fits into the overall story of God's plan.
Okay, so that brings us to redemptive historical preaching.
Yeah.
What is the key idea behind that approach?
So redemptive historical preaching highlights how each event in the Bible points towards God's plan of salvation, ultimately leading to Jesus Christ, right? It emphasizes the historical reality of these events and sees them as part of this grand narrative of redemption.
Okay, so going back to Genesis 24, how would a redemptive historical preacher approach that story?
They might focus on how the marriage of Isaac and Rebekah is part of God's promise to Abraham to create this great nation that would ultimately bless the whole world.
Mm.
They'd see that event as a step towards the coming of Jesus, who is the ultimate fulfillment of that promise.
So it's about seeing these individual stories as building blocks in this much larger story of God's redemption.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting. But does that mean that we can't, like, learn anything from the choices and the actions of the character?
That's a good question.
Like, are those moral examples just completely off the table?
That's where it gets really interesting, right?
Yeah.
So Dr. Van Noy suggests that we can actually benefit from both the exemplaristic and redemptive historical approaches.
Okay.
They're not mutually exclusive.
Okay.
Right? So we can learn from the choices of the people in the Bible.
Yeah.
But we should always view those actions within that larger framework of God's redemptive plan.
Okay, so it's like looking at a painting.
Yeah.
You can appreciate the individual brushstrokes.
Yeah.
But you need to step back and see how it all comes together.
Yeah, you got to see the whole picture.
Yeah, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And Dr. Van Noy emphasizes something really important here.
Yeah.
These narratives are not just stories.
Okay.
They're historical accounts of real events that happened. Real people who interacted with God.
Right, yeah.
And that history is foundational to our faith.
Right. You know, I remember he talks about a scholar named S.R. Driver,
mm-hmm.
who kind of dismissed the historical value of those early stories,
mm-hmm.
about the patriarchs like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob.
Yeah.
He kind of saw them as more illustrative than historical.
Mm-hmm, right.
And Dr. Van Noy really pushes back against that.
Yeah, he does.
Because if those stories aren't historically grounded,
right,
then... I mean, what does that say about our faith?
Yeah.
Like,
right.
The Christian faith is built on this belief that God acted in real time and space.
Yes.
Culminating in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus.
Right.
I never thought about it that way before.
Yeah.
You're right. It changes everything if we just see those narratives as just made up stories.
Yeah.
Instead of real historical events.
Exactly.
And that's where that redemptive historical preaching really seems to shine.
Yeah. It helps us to see the continuity of God's plan throughout history leading up to Jesus.
Right. And it shows his faithfulness.
Yes.
It reveals his character. Mm-hmm. So as we kind of move forward here, I think it's really important to keep this bigger picture in mind.
Yes.
These stories are not isolated incidents. They're all connected to this grand narrative of God's redemption.
Absolutely. And it's a narrative that includes us.
Mm.
Each of us has a role to play.
Wow.
In this ongoing story.
This has been incredibly insightful. I feel like I have a whole new way of looking at these stories.
I'm glad to hear that. And we're just getting started. When we come back, let's look at some specific examples from the Elijah narratives and see how these different approaches actually play out in practice.
Sounds good. Okay, so we've laid some groundwork here.
Yeah.
But I'm really curious to see how these different approaches actually like work when you apply them to like specific stories.
Right.
I always find that things click a lot better when you have some real examples to work with.
I agree. It's one thing to talk about the concept, but to actually see it in action, I think, is what really brings it to life.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So let's dive into those Elijah narratives you mentioned.
Okay, so let's start with 1 Kings 17. You know the story where Elijah confronts King Ahab about all the wickedness that's going on and then ends up having to flee to the brook Cherith where he's miraculously fed by ravens?
Oh, yeah.
That one always stood out to me.
It's a dramatic story for sure.
Yeah.
Now, if you're preaching from this passage using the exemplaristic method, you might focus on Elijah's courage. You know, he stands up to Ahab, who's this powerful king, and he doesn't back down from what he believes. You know, it's a powerful example of standing up for what's right, even when it's risky.
Yeah, I could see how that message would really resonate with people.
Yeah.
Especially these days when it feels like, you know, it's harder and harder to speak truth to power.
But a redemptive historical preacher might take a different approach there, right?
Okay.
They might point out that the story isn't just about Elijah's personal bravery.
Right.
It's about God's judgment on Israel for turning away from him and worshiping idols.
Mm.
Right. So Elijah's actions are part of this larger pattern of God sending prophets to call his people back to him.
So instead of just focusing on Elijah as like an individual hero, it's this approach is highlighting his role in God's bigger plan.
Yeah, exactly.
For his people.
Yeah, and even something as seemingly small as those ravens bringing Elijah food takes on a deeper meaning, right? It shows God providing for his prophet in this surprising and unexpected way, even when things seem hopeless.
You know, I've always wondered about that detail with the ravens. Yeah. It's such a strange image.
It is.
But you're right. It makes more sense when you see it as a sign of God's faithfulness.
Yeah. It also foreshadows how God will ultimately provide for his people through Jesus. Who is the true bread of life?
Wow. I never made that connection before.
Yeah.
That's really insightful.
These kinds of connections are what make redemptive historical preaching so fascinating, right? Yeah. You start to see how all these seemingly separate stories are actually woven together into this intricate tapestry.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, let's try another one. How about the story of Elijah challenging the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel?
Oh, yeah.
In 1 Kings 18.
Uh-huh.
That's always been one of my favorite stories in the Bible.
A classic showdown, right?
Yeah, it's so good.
Now, someone using an exemplaristic approach might focus on the contrast between Elijah's faith and the efforts of the Baal prophets, right? And they might encourage people to have faith in God's power, even when things look impossible.
Yeah, that's a message that's always relevant.
It is.
I mean, who hasn't faced a situation where they felt like the odds were completely stacked against them?
But a redemptive historical preacher might zoom out a bit and focus on the bigger picture.
Right.
They might point out that this event isn't just about proving which God is more powerful.
Okay.
It's about demonstrating God's sovereignty over all the false gods that people were worshiping at the time.
Right. So it's not just about a personal victory for Elijah.
Right.
It's about a cosmic victory for God.
Yes. And it also foreshadows the ultimate victory of God over all evil through the death and resurrection of Jesus.
Okay.
You know, he is the true sacrifice who defeats the idols of our hearts and sets us free from spiritual bondage.
Man, I'm starting to see how powerful this redemptive historical lens can be.
Yeah.
It really helps you connect the dots between the Old and New Testaments.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's really cool.
It's not just about extracting moral lessons or trying to imitate what people did in the Bible, right?
Yeah.
It's about understanding how each event points to the ultimate fulfillment.
Right.
Of God's purposes in Christ.
So, as we've seen, both the exemplaristic and the redemptive historical approaches can offer, you know, some valuable insights into these narratives. But it seems like that redemptive historical lens really, really helps us to understand like the deeper meaning and significance of these events.
You're picking up on something crucial here.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not that the exemplaristic approach is wrong.
Yeah.
It's just that it can sometimes miss the forest for the trees.
Hmm.
It's like focusing on a single puzzle piece without seeing how it fits into the overall image.
Yeah. And that redemptive historical approach is what helps us to see the bigger picture. It's like having a map that shows you where you are.
Right.
In the grand scheme of things.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
But, you know, even with a map, it's easy to get lost or to take a wrong turn.
Yeah.
And there are some challenges and nuances to preaching redemptive historically
that we need to be aware of.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
What are some of those challenges?
Well, for one thing, we need to be careful not to fall back into allegorizing the text.
Okay.
Which is something that that Dr. Vannoy warned us about earlier.
Right. So how do we make sure that we're not just imposing our own symbolic interpretations?
Yeah, that's the question.
On these historical events.
It's a subtle distinction, but it's crucial.
Yeah.
When we allegorize, we're essentially treating the text as a code that needs to be deciphered. Mm-hmm. We're looking for these hidden meanings that may or may not be there.
Yeah.
But with redemptive historical preaching, we're trying to understand the text on its own terms within its historical context.
Right.
Looking for the connections that the biblical authors themselves intended to make.
So it's like we're following the breadcrumbs that they left for us instead of creating our own trail.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
It's about It's about being faithful to the text,
yeah,
and letting it guide us rather than trying to force it into our own preconceived notions.
Right.
And one of the best ways to do that is to always keep that big picture in mind.
Right.
You know, the story of God's redemption unfolding throughout history.
I can definitely see how that would help keep us on track.
Yeah.
It's easy to get lost in the details and miss the forest for the trees.
Right. And remember that story doesn't end with the last page of the Bible.
Mm.
It continues to unfold in our own lives and in the world around us.
Wow, that's a good point.
Yeah, we're part of that story, and yeah, our actions have an impact on how it continues to unfold.
That's a pretty powerful thought.
It is.
It makes you realize that these ancient narratives are not just like historical relics, you know?
Right.
They have something to say to us today about who God is, who we are, and what it means to live in a world that's still waiting to be fully redeemed.
Exactly. And that's what makes redemptive historical preaching so, so relevant and so challenging. Right.
Yeah.
It calls us to connect the dots between the past, the present, and the future.
Yeah.
It invites us to see ourselves as participants,
mm-hmm,
in this grand narrative of redemption.
I think for our listeners, you know, who are already engaged with the Bible and thinking deeply about these things,
right,
this is like a real call to action.
Yeah.
It's about going beyond just reading the stories.
Right.
And actually allowing them to shape our understanding, mm-hmm, of God and the world.
I couldn't agree more. It's about wrestling with the text.
Yeah.
Asking tough questions,
yeah,
and being willing to be transformed by what we discover.
Right.
It's about allowing those ancient narratives to speak into our modern lives, mm-hmm, and to guide us on our own journeys of faith.
Yeah, this has been such a rich and thought-provoking conversation.
It has.
Thank you so much for sharing your expertise and insights with us today.
It's been my pleasure.
I know I've learned a lot, and I'm sure our listeners have as well.
I always enjoy exploring these ideas with you.
Yeah.
And I hope our conversation has sparked some new ideas and questions,
yes,
for our listeners to ponder.
And speaking of pondering, I think this deep dive has given us a lot to think about.
Mm-hmm.
We've just scratched the surface of this topic.
Yeah.
But hopefully it's given you some new tools and perspectives to,
mm-hmm,
to use as you continue to engage with God's word.
Remember, the journey of discovery never ends.
That's right.
Keep digging deeper, keep asking questions, and keep seeking the truth that sets us free.
That's good stuff, man.
Yeah.
Well, to our amazing listeners, thanks for joining us on this deep dive, and we'll see you next time.
See you next time.
So we've talked about the power of this redemptive historical approach, but also some of the challenges that come with it. It sounds like it requires a lot of, like, care and attention to detail.
It does. It's not just like a simple formula that you can plug into any passage.
Yeah.
It really requires you know, a deep understanding of scripture and a willingness to kind of wrestle with those complex ideas.
You mentioned earlier that we need to be careful not to fall back into allegorizing the text.
Right.
Can you unpack that a little more? I'm still not totally clear on the difference between like finding legitimate connections and just kind of imposing our own interpretations.
Yeah, it is a subtle distinction.
Yeah.
But it's crucial. You know, when we allegorize, we're essentially treating the text as a code that needs to be deciphered.
Okay.
You know, we're looking for these hidden meanings that may or may not be there.
Right.
But with redemptive historical preaching, we're trying to understand the text on its own terms.
Okay, yeah.
Within its historical context. We're looking for the connections that the biblical authors themselves intended to make.
So it's like we're following the breadcrumbs that they left for us instead of creating our own trail.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah.
Cool.
It's
yeah.
about being faithful to the text, mm, and letting it guide us rather than trying to force it into our own you know, preconceived notions.
Right.
And one of the best ways to do that is to always keep that big picture in mind.
Right.
You know, the story of God's redemption unfolding throughout history.
Yeah, I can definitely see how that would help to keep us on track. It's
Yeah.
easy to get lost in the details and miss the forest for the trees.
Right. And remember, that story doesn't end with the last page of the Bible. It continues to unfold in our own lives and in the world around us. We're part of that story, and our actions have an impact on how it continues to unfold.
That's a pretty powerful thought.
It is.
It makes you realize that these ancient narratives are not just like historical relics.
Yeah.
They have something to say to us today about who God is, who we are, and what it means to live in a world that's still waiting to be fully redeemed.
Exactly. And that's what makes redemptive historical preaching so relevant and so challenging. You know, it calls us to connect the dots between the past, the present, and the future. It invites us to see ourselves as participants in this grand narrative of redemption.
I think for our listeners, who are already engaged with the Bible and thinking deeply about these things,
Right.
this is like a real call to action.
Yeah.
It's about going beyond just reading the stories and actually allowing them to shape our understanding of God and the world.
I couldn't agree more. It's about wrestling with the texts, asking tough questions, and being willing to be transformed by what we discover. It's about allowing those ancient narratives to speak into our modern lives and to guide us on our own journeys of faith.
This has been such a rich and thought-provoking conversation.
It really has.
Thank you so much for sharing your expertise and insights with us today.
It's been my pleasure.
I know I've learned a lot, and I'm sure our listeners have as well.
I always enjoy exploring these ideas with you, and I hope our conversation has sparked some new ideas and questions for our listeners to ponder.
And speaking of pondering, I think this deep dive has given us a lot to think about. We've just scratched the surface of this topic, but hopefully it's giving you some new tools and perspectives to use as you continue to engage with God's Word.
Yeah, remember, the journey of discovery never ends. Keep digging deeper, keep asking questions, and keep seeking the truth that sets us free.
That's good stuff. Well, to our amazing listeners, thanks for joining us on this deep dive, and we'll see you next time for another fascinating exploration of God's Word.